Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're looking at the names and titles of Jesus, and this is an introduction to the names and titles of Jesus. The first question we want to ask is, why study the names and titles of Jesus? Should we study the names, titles, metaphors, and descriptors of Jesus so we can impress others with our Jesus vocabulary? By no means. I believe there are three ways that a study of Jesus' names and titles can benefit us, all of them closely related. One, our prayer life is enriched by having meditated on Jesus' names, titles, and metaphors. For example, as I've studied about Jesus as my shepherd, I find myself calling on Jesus in prayer as my shepherd, trusting him to supply my needs and to guide me. Two, our worship is enriched as well. With a limited vocabulary of praise and a limited understanding of Jesus, we are reduced to a kind of hobbled, truncated praise. But as we begin to know more of Jesus' facets, we are able to praise him better. Three, our faith in and understanding of Jesus is increased. As I study how Jesus provides as a shepherd, I am now able to trust him more fully in this area of my life. Whereas I once had a lot of anxiety about making ends meet, now my trust in Jesus as my shepherd and provider bring me confidence, assurance, and joy that I was missing before. So what is a name or title of Jesus? Name, a word or phrase that constitutes the distinctive designation of a person or thing. Let's use Billy Graham as an example. Billy is his first name. Graham is a surname, his father's name. Jesus was known by people in his village as Jesus, son of Joseph. A title is an appellation of dignity, honor, distinction, or preeminence attached to a person or family by virtue of rank, office, precedent, privilege, attainment, or lands. When he is introduced in public, he is often called Reverend Graham or Dr. Graham. If he had been a pastor, he might have been referred to as Pastor Graham. He also might be titled Evangelist. One of Jesus' titles is Messiah or Christ. A metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase literally denoting one kind of object or idea is used in place of another to suggest a likeness or analogy between them. For example, Jesus is referred to as shepherd, though he wasn't a literal shepherd for his living. But the metaphor of shepherd tells us something about his ministry. A descriptor is something, as a word or characteristic feature, that serves to describe or identify. Sometimes, metaphors of Jesus could also be called descriptors. In English, we have several grammatical constructs used to describe nouns. Descriptors can describe Jesus' functions, such as Savior, Redeemer, Healer, etc. One is an adjectival phrase, a noun together with an adjective modifying it. In Hebrew and Greek, this modifier often appears in the genitive, such as man of sorrows or son of God. Another is a predicate adjective, an adjective which appears in the position of the predicate, that is, after the verb, but which modifies the subject, such as Jesus is merciful or Jesus inspires hope. This describes a quality of Jesus, but is it a title? Probably not. But if Jesus is addressed in prayer as Jesus my hope, perhaps we should consider it a descriptor. If the phrase is used often enough, it might even be considered a title. Perhaps this helps you see the fuzzy borders of determining what are the names, titles, metaphors, and descriptors of Jesus. Add to that different translations. So let's not be too dogmatic about precisely which are which. What we're really seeking to know is the Jesus who existed long before any names for him were even needed. When we examine the names and titles of Jesus, we look back to the Old Testament to messianic prophecies. Of course, not everyone agrees on whether a particular Old Testament passage refers to the Messiah. That's okay. But we'll be looking at the clearest ones, especially prophecies mentioned in the New Testament with reference to Jesus. For example, in Isaiah 53, Jesus is called servant and man of sorrows. In Isaiah 9, he is called wonderful counselor. In our study, we'll consider Jesus as the second person of the Trinity. I won't spend time trying to prove the concept of the Trinity here. Rather, see my article, Four Reasons Why I Believe in the Trinity, that's online. For many centuries, Jesus' relation to the Father has been helpfully described by the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. Here's the Apostles' Creed that came from the second century. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And then here's the Nicene Creed, part of it, that came from 325 and then 381 A.D. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Some features of this study. Rather than relying on previous books about the names of Jesus, I've gone back to the original Hebrew and Greek languages and the conclusions of conservative scholars to determine the meanings of the words as precisely as possible. If you find Hebrew and Greek confusing, you're not alone. Please accept my condolences and just skip it. But for preachers, teachers, and small group leaders, I've included this kind of information, as well as footnoting my sources, so that readers can assess the value of the information and not just pass it along blindly to their listeners. Questions are included at various points in each chapter to help the reader pause and think more deeply. It's too easy for us to read unthoughtfully and assume that we understand what we are reading. The questions are designed to help readers articulate and apply what they are learning to their own lives and growing faith. Each question includes a hyperlink to the Joyful Heart Bible Study Forum, where participants can share their answers to the questions and read what others have written. Songs and hymns are ways that we use the names and character of Jesus in our worship. To help those designing worship services around the names and titles of Jesus, I have tried to include some of the more popular hymns and songs that I could find. Lists of the names and titles of Jesus in each of the 10 lessons are included too. I encourage you to try to use these ways of addressing Jesus in your prayers for each week of study. Your prayers will be richer for it, and so will your understanding of the God whom we serve. In Appendix 6, I'm also including exercises to help you internalize the names of Jesus. These suggest ways to include a lesson's names and titles in prayer, meditation, worship, drawing or painting, composing a song, community involvement, and prayer for friends. I hope you'll take advantage of many of these ideas throughout the study. Okay, we're about ready to begin. Don't be afraid to stretch yourself and do some things you've never done before. It's my joy to take this journey with you. Let's pray. Father, guide us as we learn about Jesus through his names, titles, descriptors, and metaphors that we find in your word. I pray that you would change our lives, energize our faith, and make us more like Jesus in this process. Help us to know him more fully. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.